You can't build peace on empty stomachs.
Let's bring one and one together. I watch the world from your point of view.
Okay, everyone, welcome to the IAAS podcast, where we dive deep into the critical intersection of youth leadership and agricultural policy. I'm thrilled to have Nelle, the Global Youth Leadership Lead at Bayer, joining us today. We focus on understanding how to prepare and position young individuals and ensure their full and meaningful participation in shaping agriculture. Nelle, thank you for being here. Maybe we can say hi first to Nelle, everyone. Hi, Nelle.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, Nelle, maybe you can introduce yourself to our listeners.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Ingar, for the invitation. And thank you, IAAS, for the invitation on this very, very important topic that is very dear to my heart. As Ingar already mentioned, my name is Nelle Hermann-Valenci. Please call me Nelle. I'm working with Bayer, a global research and development company that pursues the mission of health for all and hunger for none. And if you allow me just to give a brief overview of what Bayer is doing, is that okay? Just for the scene setting?
Yeah, it's okay, Nelle.
All right, excellent. So, as a company, we have a comprehensive sustainability commitments in place that directly link to our business for the sustainable transformation of the agricultural system, which is, of course, of crucial importance to the next generation or those that are young now. And we understand that our impact potential lies in our business. That means in better seeds, better plant protection, digital solutions and services that make the difference to our customers and generally the human beings we serve. And to achieve our goals, one of the very important things I always like to highlight is that we invest in research and development, in R&D. Mm-hmm. And to give you a concrete number, in 2023, the R&D budget was 2.6 billion euros. So this is important. And we do partner with all stakeholders and impact groups around the globe, obviously, including young people, because you are so important. Now, me personally, I have the privilege of working with young leaders in agriculture globally, and I'm most proud of the partnership, I have to say, that we have been able to grow with IAAS in the past few years. And as a global leader, I am essentially focused on building participation pathways for outstanding youth advocates in the global decision-making sphere. So this is really my cup of tea, this conversation. And last not least, I would like to highlight that global decision-making must be informed by local realities, which is why it is so important for me to listen and learn from young people in all sorts of agricultural realities and ensure that hopefully your voices get heard and acknowledged. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Nelle. That's a great introduction from yourself. Maybe we will next to the first question, Nelle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, in your role, how do you address potential barriers regarding youth involvement in the agricultural system? And what insight can you share on overcoming these challenges?
Yes, absolutely. A very, very important and key question. So access barriers are, in fact, multiple and very diverse in nature. So they range from challenges in being acknowledged and simply granted a seat at the table instead of being on the menu. I don't know if you've heard of this expression, but I really like it. And to be honest, the world of decision making is still rather old and rather male. But these are not the only challenges. So concrete challenges, of course, that young people in agriculture are facing are access to land, access to innovation technology, access to education, networks, and mentors, access to markets and adequate infrastructures, as well as access to decent jobs. Now, I cannot solve all of this, so I am focused on the global arena as an impact area for me. And so my role also focuses on this global arena, as mentioned before. And I prioritize the capacitation of young leaders to become effective advocates for what your own vision for the future of agriculture and our food systems are. This means offering leadership training sessions, soft skills capacitation. It means sharing insights about the workings of complex multi-governmental and international organizations. It includes building networks, opening doors for young people to walk through. It means matching young people with mentors and learning opportunities while at the same time and always inviting feedback, questions, and reflection. And that's not only as a company, but also me personally and through the engagements that we are entertaining, we value it so much. I mean, the feedback that the young generation can give is crucial to defining what the system of the future will look like. And maybe just to quickly also mention the other access challenges, not only the global advocacy sphere, but the others that are more concrete in the regions and the diverse agricultural systems. My colleagues in the regions and in the countries, Bayer Crop Science is present all around the globe and in 143 countries, they become much more concrete in terms of agricultural knowledge sharing and dialogue and capacitation in the realities that they serve. So they are the ones leading the concrete transformation towards a regenerative agricultural system in these diverse agricultural realities. And they are very, very often and strategically engaging with young people in programs and projects and initiatives.
Okay. What specific skills and knowledge are crucial for empowering young individuals to contribute meaningfully to shaping agricultural policy? And how can this be forested?
Yes. So, next to your own expertise with regards to the agricultural system that you represent or come from, I believe it is crucial to have a good understanding of the policymaking systems. On the one hand, of course, nationally, then also starting to understand what does policymaking mean in your region and what does it mean in the global scheme of things, because oftentimes multi-stakeholder international organizations will come up in very oftentimes even tedious negotiations with policy recommendations that will then be implemented in the countries. So you need to understand what are the impact organizations, what are the processes and timelines for policymaking, what is the language that policymakers understand and use that language yourself so that you are in line with all the understanding that needs to be built? Who are the key people, both the decision makers and the decision facilitators? Because oftentimes it's not only the very important person that takes the final decision, but decisions are being prepared. So who are these people? Who are stakeholders that also need to be kept in mind and included? How can you conduct bilateral meetings, for example? How can you build relationships and how to effectively, in fact, contribute to negotiations that I mentioned before? So these are a couple of key questions, and it's actually quite a number of questions that need to be addressed. And to be honest, I can only recommend to deep dive into this sphere, but be patient with yourselves. It is not an easy environment, and it takes some time to build the trust and recognition that you need to be fully integrated into processes of relevance. Now, being part of a global association just like EAS, this is really a very smart step forward, because to take your example, EAS is actually already very successful and very successfully involved in shaping agricultural policies. And I can only encourage you to do more of it. And as an organization, you're already doing the integrative hard work of consolidating shared positions that credibly then can represent youth voices of importance. And it is important that you are not showing up as an individual, because then your leverage is not as big. But if you're showing up as the voice of young people of some sort, and EAS has that that standing already, then you become much stronger in the policy scene.
Okay, so as a EAS member, we can start from ourselves first, yeah, Nella.
Yes, I mean, you are doing it already, right? So you have the independent think tank, FAI, that is working on policy positions. You're taking part in global conferences like the COPs, and you have a voice. You are heard. So this is something that I am very proud of for you, because you're doing an amazing job, and really just congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
How does Bayer collaborate with educational institution and youth organization to create awareness and opportunities for youth engagement in agricultural policy?
Yes, thank you for this question. So we're doing it in diverse ways. So let me just I'll give you a couple of examples. So Bayer collaborates with academic institutions around the globe and in very diverse programs and projects. And most of this work actually lies with country or regional colleagues. And there are, of course, global teams also contributing to building out opportunities that make sense for everyone involved. So I will give you a couple of examples, but these are not exhaustive. This is not a complete list for sure. So to start with the academic institutions, to give you two very concrete examples. On the one hand, for example, we have a Bayer Safe Use Ambassadors Program. This is a stewardship program that includes both agriculture and also medical training, stewardship in the plant protection space, right? So university students are invited to join a challenge and learn in depth about crop protection, how to apply the crop protection products, about plant health and human health, and what good working conditions in the space for farmers in the communities, et cetera, can look like. And more than 10,000 students have already actually passed through this program. Now, this program is implemented not only in collaboration with universities, but also counts on the support of governments, right? So this is where, of course, by participating in such a program, you gain knowledge in a specific area that you can then take into policy conversations as well. Another example is, for example, you're from Indonesia, right? So yeah. I learned that, and I'm looking forward to actually the ICEA in Yogyakarta later this year, actually. Yeah. So
we will meet, guys.
Exactly. So in fact, Bayer has a memorandum of understanding with Gajah Mada University in Jogja. And we are thereby providing study opportunities and research residencies and internships at our research site in Klaten. So this is just an example of how we on the ground collaborate with students to facilitate for understanding of what the state of the art is in research and development. And then, of course, from there, this gets integrated into policy discussions. Now, with regards to youth organizations that I believe you asked me about as well. Well, obviously, we are collaborating with EAS. You know that.
Yeah, with EAS.
So, and I just mentioned, so we are collaborating with EAS. We are collaborating on the international conferences of youth and agriculture, with EAS world teams, the local organizing committees. And we are hoping to include participants in field visits, sending experts to the conference or other engagements as of interest to your organization, because this is a partnership with you. And we need to be working together so that whatever we as a company can facilitate you with is also of interest to you. So EASers have actually been visiting Bayer Forward Farms and research centers. You've been able to talk with smallholder farmers from the Better Life Farming Initiative. And always, this also includes the advocacy angle, because my colleagues and I myself as well, we always include that, because agriculture doesn't stop on the field. It then goes into the value chain. And of course, frameworks must be set so that agriculture can be attractive, not only to the young generation, but in this case, specifically to the young generation, because, you know, unless it becomes attractive and an area for decent livelihoods, why would a young person choose to be in agriculture, right? I mean, I can think of 100 reasons, because it's so exciting, but unless you can make a decent living, well, it just becomes really tough. So we're always including that advocacy angle.
Okay. And can you discuss the role of mentorship and support system in nurturing the leadership potential of young individual interested in influencing agricultural policies on a global scale, Nella?
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, I mentioned it before, this is one of the key things. I think mentorship and support systems must be there, must be built out. And my personal conviction is it must be co-created, nevertheless, with young people. So it's not a top-down thing. Mentorship also is not top-down. It depends on the individual interest of a mentee. And then, of course, it is important to find a matching mentor. It is important to create support systems. And actually, we together, EAS, Bayer, and many, many other organizations have created a global network that's called ENGINE, the Next Gen Agriculture Impact Network. EAS is a board member as well. And through that network, we have a very sharp focus on raising policy advocacy skills on a global scale for young people. And what we have done, and I was lucky enough to have served as elected chair for the past 2 years, what we have done is to create, I guess, an environment where multiple stakeholders, very diverse, and an intergenerational network could be created, where we created mentorship opportunities, and where we are constantly co-creating with young people, including EAS, the new opportunities that are meaningful for young people so that you can leave your impact in the global scene.
Okay. And what innovative approaches or technology do you see as particularly impactful in engaging and mobilizing youth to play an active role in shaping the future of agriculture and related policies, Nella?
Yeah, thank you. This question is great. In fact, honestly, I think this really depends on the young person's interest. Because so many things are of interest. And I mentioned before, I'm super excited about agriculture and everything that is happening. But okay, there's also a rather obvious answer. And I think that is the digital revolution. So you, your generation, you're the world's first digital natives. Smartphones are all around. Artificial intelligence takes off fast and heavy. Information just gets more and more. And there is, in fact, a world of opportunity in the digital space. However, I don't think that is all. So there are so many young people that I've talked with who are passionate about finding ways in science to make plant protection safer, for example, or more effectively reduce the environmental impact of inputs that are needed to prevent diseases, etc. There are so many young minds also out there who are extremely excited about other potentials of science and biotechnology. And I don't mean GMOs. There's so much more in biotechnology as well. So it really all depends on the individual young person, what you're studying, and where you see your future. So whatever your, I would say really what where your passion lies, that's where you will be most impactful. And from my own role, or answering this question from my the perspective of my own role, is one thing is so sure. The true inclusion of youth leaders also needs innovative approaches to collaboration. I mentioned it before, co-creation is actually key. So young people must be given the chance to grow and develop your capacities that then match the skills demands of the global policy arena. I mentioned it before, talk the same language that the policymakers are talking in. And this is something that needs to be learned. A young leader just recently, in fact, this just comes to my mind. A young leader just recently shared with me that he once believed that attempting to engage larger organization was rather fruitless, you know, but that efforts by these organizations and individuals in bringing and inspiring others to come together, to take action, have actually made him realize that the right people in the right organizations can, as he said, truly make a world of a difference. And I was very happy when he said that to me. I'm very much encouraged to continue on this path. So we, Bayer, myself, platforms like Engine, we will continue to open spaces, listen, and generally co-create with you, because I think that makes the difference.
Okay, and the last question, I think, what the message would you recommend to us, to young people, for this agricultural policy, Nella?
Yeah. So I think youth, you know, young people under or at the age of 30 are 50% of the world's population. And the average age of a politician is 62 years worldwide. This is of course not, you know, individual average ages will be different, but worldwide it's 62 years. So, and then we also have women that are still underrepresented, and young women even worse. So honestly, please, you need to keep informing your peers, help inspiring, capacitating, and activating young people, other young people, and work with partners and connect the dots and networks, because you need to raise your voice. It is absolutely crucial. So my key messages to the EI's listeners here would be, one, you can do it, right? This is the first thing. I've seen so much youth excellency around. Please raise your voice, be confident, you can do it. The second one is, of course, please be prepared. That is important. But then also with regards to your stakeholders and with regards to the policymakers, work with youth. This is something that, in fact, your former president, Omar Farhadze, said at a conference in Rome last year. He said, you need to work with youth, because otherwise we become trouble, or we might become trouble to you. And this is actually important. You know, the next generation is already here. You are a key part of the solutions to the big challenges the world faces, be it climate change, water scarcity, biodiversity loss, energy crisis. I mean, young people must be part of the solving processes. It is your future more than that of our grandparents' generation. And this is not even to say that any generation should outweigh another, but we need to work together at eye level and across generations. So I guess, sorry, not for being super sharp here, but definitely passionate about these messages.
Okay, thank you so much, Nelu. And I think I'm so proud of you, of being here, of being a global youth leadership lead. And I'm so honored to be a host and can have interview with you, Nelu.
Thank you. The honor is all mine.
Okay. Maybe as we conclude this insightful episode of the IAAS podcast, a huge thank you to Nelu for sharing her expertise and experiences in guiding youth leadership. And we've explored the strategies, challenges, and inspiring stories illuminating the a path forward. And thank you so much, Nella.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry if I made a lot of mistakes. And remember, don't forget to follow and share this podcast. Stay tuned for more discussion on the IAAS podcast. Until next time, I'm Ingar, signing off. Thank you and see you. Thank you, Nella.
Let's bring one and one together. I watch the world from your point of view.